Welcome to the Deeper Life Bible Study, coming to you from Identity Church in Deltona, Florida. Now let us hear the expounding of the Word of God, a now word for this moment. So grab your Bible, sit back as we delve into the Word of God and hear the Logos and Rhema Word.
This is our fourth week on the spirit of poverty. I have found that actually, Kevin and I were just discussing, people really like the series. If you go to Identity Church app and go into sermons, you can download all of my notes, which is everything I wanted to say but didn't. If you've been following, by looking at my notes, you realize there's a lot more there in the notes than what I get to, but then I add a lot of stuff as I'm doing it. So it's something to go study. And the submarine has just now landed. And how are you doing today? Yeah. If you want to open your Bibles, I want to read quite a bit of scripture tonight, and realize them. If you listen to the other three parts, I'm not going to hash it all out. I don't have time to do that. But spirit of poverty comes in to steal your identity. The spirit of poverty comes in to steal your destiny. The spirit of poverty comes in to make you think you're less than you really are. Or it'll attach to a spirit of religion and you turn you into works to where you don't become who you are. If some of the guys were at the men's group Monday night, we had a tremendous experience where you see the ability for resources gets twisted in the desire to go do ministry, and you miss the fact that God might have just set an inheritance in front of you and you miss it. And that's just not that individual. I think it's all of us. You know, how many have missed a business opportunity and you kicked yourself ever since? I missed a business opportunity about 6 months ago. And I was so focused on what I believe I was supposed to do, I missed, absolutely could have made 100 grand in that quick, and it was too good to be true, and I didn't pursue it. It was put before me, and the problem was, is I heard the word of the Lord to focus on paying off my house, so that was all I focused on, and if I would have obeyed him in about 2 weeks, I could have paid off my house real quick. Yeah. And it was brought to me, and I missed it, and I think so much of the time we get so focused on the legalism of obedience that we forget the relationship of the one we're obeying. It would have been very easy to listen and done this and had him fulfill what he said he was doing to bringing me debt free with an extra 100K. It just would have been easier. And I wouldn't be sitting up here groveling like a wounded cat. You know, so the principles of the spirit of poverty first tries to get you to think you can't give. And we know that, we all know, if we've been a Christian long enough, giving is the key to opening doors. It's the key to breaking the back of the enemy. But there's some responsibilities to it. And there's, if you're not careful, the religiousness will come in and actually rob your joy and therefore not give in a joyful place. So I'm just going to read scriptures. Listen, formula for financial independence is repent, obedience equals freedom. This is where I'm going to dig pretty deep right into the money aspect. Now, the last 3 weeks, I haven't really gone after the money aspect. I've gone after the effects of the spirit of poverty. So I'm going to read Haggai 1, verses 2-11. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. When the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Say that. Say, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but you're not warm. And he who earns wages and puts it in a bag with holes in it. That sounds like a bad day. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Who blew it away? Why, says the Lord of hosts, because my house that is in ruins, well, every one of you runs his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withdrew the dew and the earth withheld its fruit. For I called for a drought in the land and the mountains, on the grain and new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground, this is going to be good, whatever the ground brings forth on men and livestock and on the labor of your hands. That's a pretty tough word. That's Old Testament. So let me ask you a question. How's your house? How are you individually doing? Let's take the church and tithing and giving to the church out of this equation. This is Old Testament. Who's the temple now? Oh, so how's your house? How's your marriage? How's your bank account? How's your savings account? How many in here believe that you're a priest? So are you taking a tenth of your income and putting it in a savings account to make sure your house is in good shape? Oh no, we just religiously come and give it to the church and we don't take care of our own family. We don't put a savings account. We don't put anything aside. Because we're just going to believe God that if we give it to the church, that's all we need to give. No, that's bad management. Do you need to give the church? Yeah. But if you think you're a priest, are you putting money aside for your retirement? Are you putting money aside for your family? Listen, I got people whose children will not serve God because their parents gave everything away and became poor in the name of God, and they don't want nothing to do with Christianity. That's good preaching. Okay, should I stop there? or am I just getting started? Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in where, what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be not enough room for you to receive it, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. How many wants the devourer rebuked? Okay, right here's the formula. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor devour the vine bear fruit for you in field, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed. For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Who's Malachi preaching to? Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? The prophet is talking to the leadership of the temple. He's not even talking to the commoner. He's talking to the leadership. Will a man rob God? But you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. In other words, the church didn't do what they're supposed to with the finances. Will a man rob God? No, a man won't rob God, but we won't give because we see leadership not doing what's right with it. That went over well. So preachers get up and take this scripture and beat the snot out of the people. And really and truly, the prophet is talking to the leadership. People won't rob God when they see the flow of God. They see the integrity of God in a house. Well, it flows. It flows all the way through. But when they see leadership not doing what's right, when they see just not doing what's right, people pull back. Why? Because it's no longer blessed. Have you ever seen it that way in that scripture? Who's he talking to? Is he talking to you or is he talking to leadership? The prophet is talking to leadership. He's talking to the priest. Will a man rob God? No, but you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Why? Because you've taken stuff that was given to you and you haven't done what was right with the widow, the poor, the downtrodden. Okay, that was good, wasn't it? In other words, there's a word that the enemy's been trying to corrupt, and it's the word tithing. That word represents truth as he knows it because it'll set us free from the yoke of bondage. Tithing is saying, God, I trust you. I'm skipping over a lot of stuff. You want to study it, download the notes. But listen, I've got people who argue with me, see, tithing's under the law. Okay, I'll go there with you. So you have the spirit of giving on you? If you want to reject tithing, have you stepped into generosity? Or have you just thought you skipped all this giving stuff? Find me a person who realizes and believes that tithing is Old Testament and there was a greater grace on it, and now you stepped into generosity and giving generosity the way God does. I guarantee you, he probably gets 15, 20, 25, 30%. So if you don't believe in tithing, how generous are you? Prove it. Well, and I've challenged some people, and I said, let me see your checkbook. I'll find out. How much you give? You find out they give about 2.5%. Why? Because it's law. I don't want to be bound by none. Okay, that was good. Okay, tithing, the word tithing is a tenth. It's a scale. God says, I want a tenth. And then they get into, I don't believe in tithing. God owns it all. Really? Let me ask you a question. Now, I've had this. Let me ask you a question. You believe God owns it all? Yeah. How many times has he told you to empty your checkbook? Have you ever done it? Then he doesn't own it. He hasn't even been, listen, your theory hasn't even been tested. It's a great theory. Has he been able to take it all so far? Or is that still theory? On more than one occasion, he's got every dime I've ever had. More than once. So it's no longer theory, it's been tested. He actually owns it all. Why? And I can prove it. I can show you the checks, I can show you the zero balance. Why? He took it all. He took it from us one time at the church. I'm like, Lord, we can't do that here at the church. Lord, please. He said, you're just the leader. I didn't tell you to make the decision. Present it. And I presented it to the elders, and everybody had to say, we emptied the checkbook. It's been tested corporately. It's been tested personally. Oh, so does God own all? Yeah, I don't believe in tithing. God owns it all. Really, has it been tested? Or is it just theory? See, that's when you want to step from tithing to generosity. Then you can say it. The problem is we say it, then people that aren't mature enough, they throw tithing out of the room. They just throw it away. And don't give anything, and they plead grace. Okay, that was good. Page 3. I got 15 pages, so. Trust me, you might want to download my notes. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils he won in a battle. This is in Genesis 14, Genesis 28. So tithing was before the law. So it's not under the law. It was a principle before the law. Okay? Now, tithing opens the door to generosity, which is the maturest form of giving. Seriously, I can remember taking my paycheck down and tithing to the penny what a tenth was. But that was perfect. And then from there, I gave offering. It's like, God, just what do you want? Tell me what you want. Tithing is not necessary trying to live out to be lived by the law. It is not legalism, though it can be. There are people who pray legalistically, but does that mean that we should not stop praying, that we should stop praying? There's people that pray under a religious spirit, so we shouldn't pray anymore. There's people that give under a religious spirit. Should we not give anymore? No, you keep doing what you're supposed to do. Now listen, the giving of the first fruits is called a teruma. Now, teruma, and this I've got a whole teaching on it, and I probably need to pull that back out and teach on it. Teruma is a agricultural form of giving. You know, the Jewish synagogue was built around agriculture and the temple. Teruma is the first fruits. If you plant 10 acres of land, there is between 1.5% and 2.5% that will come up first and produce a harvest. This is just nature. And it's called the first fruits. And you never consume the first fruits. You give the first fruit. It's 1.5 to 2.5%. That's the average. And you bring it to the priest. If there's not a priest or you're not close to a synagogue, you give it to the poor. You never consume it. That's your first fruit. It's not a tithe. Okay. It's just not yours. You're saying, God, you get the first, you get the best. Now, I came into this teaching when I was in business and I was giving crazy amounts of money and not understanding why my bills weren't getting paid. Because I'd go into church and the preacher would go, you can't outgive God, just give and give and give and give. And I gave myself broke and put God's name on it. To the point I was going to go bankrupt. And I went on a Sunday morning and I threw my Bible down and I threw my phone book down in the office of my store on a Sunday morning because I was done with this, writing the big checks, doing this because the pastor says you can't outgive God and you can't do this, you know that. And let me tell you something. If you're not following the principles of Christ and you're following the principles of a man, you can outgive God. It's called manipulation. So I laid my Bible down and I laid my phone book down. I said, God, you've got to speak to me or I'm done. Either you speak to me to your word, give me instruction, or I'm going to open this phone book, find me an attorney, and I'm going to go bankrupt and I quit. I'm done. I'll go find me a job somewhere. He spoke to me as clear as a bell. Go to Psalms 107. I went to Psalms 107. It says, when they came to their wit's end, he heard their cry and he delivered them from their distress. And I'm like, that's me. And he says, do you have your ears open to hear? I said, yes, sir. And we had an accordion folder, A to Z, with all of our invoices to our vendors that we owed money to. And we were on credit hold with half of them. I couldn't pay my bills at the time. And he says, I want you to go from A to Z and take every invoice out and name them by name and repent for stealing their money, giving it to the priest and thinking I considered it holy. The first one was AAA Lighting, St. Louis, Missouri. I put that invoice down and looked about, God, I repent for stealing AAA Lighting's money, giving it to the priest, thinking it was holy. And I went all the way through every manufacturer I had, Quorum, the whole nine yards, down to Z Lighting, and repented for stealing their money, giving it to the priest, and thinking God considered it holy. That was poor management. It was religious in nature, and I allowed myself to be manipulated. And that day, I quit giving just out of the whim. Why? Because you can't rob from man, give it to a priest, and think God thinks it's not robbery. You're supposed to give out of your increase. And if you're not a good businessman, you don't understand what is increase and what is profit and what is not. As a businessman, I had a preacher one time. He said, hey, man, I want you to do an offering teaching for the businessmen here. And I said, you don't want me to. Why? When I'm done, they'll hate you. Why? Because you won't be able to manipulate the businessmen when I'm done. Why? Because that's all you do. See, you're a king and a priest. And if you're only going to play priest, you'll never function as a king. Who am I preaching to? Listen, I'm serious. Money is serious. And spirit of poverty gets in and twists it. So I went to my pastor at the time, Big AG Church, and I said, hey, had an encounter with God just yesterday. Really? Yeah, you ain't getting no more money. What? I said, I ain't giving no more money for your conferences. I'm not your paymaster anymore. I said, now, I'm believing tithing. I said, my wife and I, we do take a salary from the company, and I'll tithe on that because I'm bringing it into my household. I believe in tithing. I'm giving. But that's all you're getting. My company, until it becomes prosperous and profitable, you ain't getting no more. So you can't outgive God, and I actually did it because you manipulated me. No more. It went over well. So the Lord told me, he says, you cannot give anymore until your company becomes healthy and actually is being profitable. Now, we took a salary. We tithe on that. We give out of that. That we're good stewards, personally. But in business, I was giving away my vendor's money and thinking God considered it holy. So, here's the ego side of it. I was known as the giver. And now I'm stingy. And I can feel it in the atmosphere. And now I want to punch people in the head. What changed? My heart changed. I saw a principle. But you know what? My family changed. My family watched me come under authority. In that same season that I obeyed God, I had a store on 147 North Industrial, and I went to 690 Rhode Island. And I needed, in this middle of this interchange of that, I needed to borrow about $60,000, $70,000 to do a build out for this building. So I went to the bank and did all the stuff I did, and he says, okay, I'll meet you on Monday morning. So I get up Monday morning, I do my devotions. The Lord says, you know, I told you to quit giving like that. Yeah, yeah. He says, well, the bank's not going to loan you any money. I said, really? So then why'd you have me do all this? Because I'm going to teach you a principle. What? It's called submission to authority. He says, your banker, his name is Charlie Prescott, is an ordained minister with Assemblies of God. I said, really? He said, but he's an apostle in the business world, and he's mine. I want you to walk in. I want you to tell him this. So I walked in. I sat down. I said, hey, before you do anything, I need to talk to you. This morning I was doing my devotions, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I said, you're an ordained minister with the AG, aren't you? He goes, yep. How'd you know? I said, the Lord told me this morning. He said, you're an apostle over finances. Yeah, I said, here's what the Lord told me to tell you is that in the last couple of years, the Lord has been getting the love of mammon out of me. And I've been giving, crazy giving, but I've repented, and I will submit to your leadership when it comes to spiritual giving out of my company, and I won't give unless you approve it. I said, I would like to give like $500 a month. That's all. Unless you don't want me to give any until it's profitable. Guy goes, excuse me just a minute. Comes back about 15 minutes later with the president of the bank, David Bridgman. He goes, you know Roddy Tolleson? I said, yeah. And he goes, yeah, that's him. And he goes, listen, we weren't going to loan you a dime. And he goes, do you know, I did a complete analysis, and last year you gave away more money than you made to ministries? And I said, yeah, I know. He goes, you mean you're willing to not give like that and submit? I said, yes, sir. That's what God did. He told me to submit to spiritual authority over finances. David Bridgman goes, I think we want a piece of that. He loaned me the money. What was that? Divine order. And if you don't understand that you're a king, and especially business people, we get manipulated. And what happens is preachers, they want the money. But we don't want your gifting. We don't really want your opinion. We just want your money. Because kings operate different than priests. And if we could actually come together, the priests would have some money and the kings would be a little holy. This is called a marriage. This is called a covenant. And the church hasn't done it well. So when we started making a little money, the Lord said to me, he says, there'll be none of that kind of crazy giving anymore. And he says, and when you get healthy, you'll start giving a teruma. And I found a teruma. You know, my company never gave more than 2%. I quit all that. Why? Because it comes to me and I'm the giver. That's how I restructured my whole company, was the teruma. Is this making sense? Every one of us is a king and a priest. A king knows how to make money, knows how to manage, rule. And you got this priestly side on you who understands mercy and grace and minister to people. But if they're not balanced, you just have a calling with no influence. You just have a calling with no finances. You just have a broke calling. Now, he'll take us through that to show us things in us. Listen, I've had financial crashes that would kill most people. And God was so pleased. I went through the biggest crash of my life, financial crash, and lost everything. And he's like, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, really? You have a funny way of showing it. He said, son, he says, have you backslid? No. Have you cursed me? No. He says, you know how many people would? So you can stand the test. He says, eventually I'll be able to trust you with everything I promised you. See, everybody wants the money, but nobody wants to go to the test to prove that you can handle the money. Okay. First fruits. Then you got some people who just don't give, and they keep the money in the account, and they call it God's account, and they wait for some great special occasion. But if it's still in your account, you haven't given anything. Okay, that went over well. I hope some people on live stream is enjoying this, because these people eating sour grapes around here. Okay. There's four different degrees of debt. It's all in the notes, download them. Broke, broker, and brokest. it's a Hebrew word, S-A-A-L, which means by implication to request, by extension, or demand, to beg, borrow, or lay to charge. That's a form of debt, and I've got scriptures there for it. The other one is L-A-V-A-H, which is to twine, to unite, to remain, also to borrow as a form of obligation, to lend with a bind on it. The third one is N-E-S-H-E-K, 16 times, and it's interest on debt, usury. Bitten by a cobra, a bite from the lending of the usury. Those are the definitions. Okay, that's some pretty mean debt that wants to bite you like a cobra. And then the fourth form of debt is A-R-A-B-O-W-N. It's mentioned six times, and the root means to pawn, to give as security, to give as a pledge. Or excessive mortgage. There's scriptures all in that. Now listen, I got 17 ways that'll put you into dire straits. Number one is laziness. Proverbs 10:4. Proverbs 19:15. Number two is lovers of pleasure. Number three is worthless, empty pursuits. Number four is companions with ungodly friends. They'll make you go broke. They'll take your stuff. Sinful lifestyle. Number six is stubbornness and unteachability. I started preaching on money. I felt it. Listen, I was in this African-American church in Orlando. Guy's got three or four really strong young sons that are part of his ministry, and he's this big apostle. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, you're going to have to make a decision today if you're going to be manipulated or not. This is in worship. I'm like, oh, this is wonderful. What do you mean? He said, well, I know you hate manipulation, but if you want to be liked by man, you go ahead. I'm like, what does this mean? So sure enough, the worship comes over with, and this apostle gets up and starts doing the offering teaching, and he demands everybody must give. Everybody. And I'm sitting there going, I ain't giving squat. You ain't going to get a dime out of me. And I just flat refused. I just flat refused. And afterwards, one of his sons came out and he goes, you know, everybody noticed that you didn't give. I said, yeah, I figured they did. I said, but I noticed everybody gave. But did anybody ask God? Or does he think he is? Because evidently he thinks he is, because I asked God and he told me no, and now we're going to have a debate on whether God loves me or not. I says, and if before it's over with, I'll be cursed. I said, but you can't curse with God's blessing. I never did go back and preach. You going to be manipulated or are you going to hear God? Number 7, you're being led by the flesh. Number 8 is violence. If you have a tendency to violence, you have an open door for spirit of poverty to destroy you. Pride. Number 10, haste. Impulse. You ever been around someone that's an impulse buyer besides me? My wife had... Remember debit cards first came out, and it was Telly the teller.
It was Tilly.
My wife thought I was having a romantic relationship with Tilly. I would see her and give her money or get money from her. And she was like, and I would never tell her, and I would never. It was just give me money. Impulse. I needed it. Number 11. Yes, she took my card and cut it up. I had to submit to her authority. Listen, I don't care how much money you make. It's what you do with the money you do make. And if I didn't have my wife, I didn't have nothing. Nothing. Little sowing equals little harvest. Number 12, withhold giving. 13, sowing in wrong ground. 14, poor money management. And there's all scriptures for this. Number 5 is much debt. 16, stinginess. 17 is sowing among the thorns. Now listen. National poverty. Destructive wars will put a nation in poverty. Natural disasters will put a nation in poverty. Wicked rulers will put a nation in poverty. And no compassion to the poor will put a nation in poverty. So I'm telling you something. You know the principles that work on an individual house also work in a government house. How many times have we in the last political season made the statement, I know, I just listened to myself, if I ran my house the way they run this government, we wouldn't have nothing. Well, that's a true statement. And so what happens? They keep going in debt, going in debt, going into debt, because no one's willing to curb. No one's willing to bite the bullet and repent and go through an obedience process of becoming whole. Now listen, God's going to start. God's trying to judge and start his own, in the church. I saw a little article in a Christian magazine about the black church. The black church had, I'm probably go back and get the numbers, $500 billion worth of tithes and offerings in America. Maybe that was $52 billion, I don't know. It was a bunch. The article was this. Why doesn't the black church loan black business people money to start a business? And there was this whole debate with all the leaders of the African-American churches that are starting to be prosperous, but they're saying, why don't we come together and start putting people in business? In other words, running, giving them finances, holding them accountable. You know, he says, instead of waiting for the government to always give a handout, build some entrepreneurs. And somebody just kind of did it, and there's money there. But does you have the heart to manage it and grow some real leaders with the finances God's given the African-American church? And this is specific. I'm talking about church in general. We should do that. But why don't we? Because it's too easy to say government come in and take care of us. That was good. You know, Romans 11, 22 says it this way, behold, the kindness and severity of God. That went over well. All right. Listen, the economic test is a major test. Because when you economically start prospering, you actually have a tendency, to not pray as much and listen as much because you don't have to. And you start making decisions on your own. All right, am I the only one? I feel guilty here. Okay. But you know, when you're struggling a little bit, do you watch it closer? Do you pray more? Do you want to make sure you heard God? Okay. Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. He used to know where Ecclesiastes was. Right after Proverbs. There it is. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Let me start at 16. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child, and your prince feasts in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of a noble. Why? Why would the land be blessed if your king is the son of a noble? Why? Because he's been taught the noble ways. He said, if your king's a child, he has no discipline. If your king parties in the morning, it means he's not going to work and running the, managing the nation. That sounds real glorified. All right, let me change this. Woe to your household when your husband is still a child. Woe to your household when your husband would rather still party in the morning instead of go to work. Oh, it makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? Blessed are you, O land, when your husband was raised by a rich man and taught the principles on how to make money and manage. You ever read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad? You should. For your princes feast at the proper time. See, it didn't say you can't feast, but there's a proper time to feast. My dad used to take us on vacation. He made it in his scraping things together. We went on vacation and we spent money we didn't have sometimes. And I can remember coming home from vacation. He says, did y'all have a good time? And about time we hit the Florida line coming from New York, we got our lecture from Jacksonville to Vero Beach. The I'm your father. We're going to have to tighten our belt a little bit now. We've enjoyed it. We spent money. We're going to have to tighten our belt. We need to eat, less money on groceries and less money. Don't be taking them 45 minute hot baths. I want the electric bill. We're going to have to tighten our belt. Why? We feasted. We went to Stony Brook. We went on that boat under Niagara Falls. We spent money as a family. We're going to tighten up now. Are we teaching our children that? No, we got another credit card. Got another credit card. And then they come to you to pay for them. Why? Because you taught them that. Okay, that was good. Have I lost all my friends yet? Let me keep going. For strength, all right, and for your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. You feast for strength. Why? You need to enjoy what God's given you. Now listen, when the spirit of poverty mixes with the spirit of fear, I used to be afraid to go on vacations. I struggle with relaxing. Someone's got to guard this business. Someone's got to do this. Someone's got. My wife, she could sleep through a tornado. She can relax on the beach when it's 192. She has no problem relaxing. You know why? Because I'm going to work my tail off no matter what. So it's just, what the heck? When you're driven by the way I was driven, it's not balanced. You know, she could go a little work a little more, and I could probably chill out a little bit more. I mean, if we did the math, we're really good, except I'm way over here and she's way over here. I'm done. Yeah. So listen to this. For your prince feasts at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Because of laziness, the building decays. And through idleness, the house leaks. Verse 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. So you got this spirit of poverty who marries and has a twin sister named religion, and we think money's evil. What do you do with that scripture? Money answers everything. The problem is, if money answers everything, you don't know who gave it to you. Then it says, do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom, for the bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. What is it saying? You curse rich people, and then ask God to make you rich. He's not double-minded. You curse a king, and you act like you want to be one. Why would God give you something that you're cursing? This thing works. Why would God give you money if you're cursing a rich man? And I've never forgotten this. He says, you know, Christians think that rich people, all they do is think about money. He goes, I don't think about money. He said, you know, God speaks to me to write a check to a missionary for $25,000. I'd write a check, $25,000. God tells me to go buy my wife a new car. I go buy her a new car, pay for it. I don't even think about it. God tells you to do something, go to the mission field for 2 weeks. I got to think about it. Why? I ain't got no money. You're thinking about it. Why? Because you can't afford it. So really and truly, broke people think about money more than rich people. Rich people just make it. And we curse them. And I've told this story. I was one of my elders at the time. We were driving down the road, west side of Volusia County. There's a $12 million house sitting there. Gated community, gated thing, and the whole nine yards. And he goes, man, 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 man. I looked at him and go, do you know who that is? I said, first of all, he spent a ton of money on light fixtures and gave me the money. Number one. Number two, he's a man of God. Number three, he asked me for prayer all the time. Really? I said, yeah. I know him well. I said, you know, he called me in the middle of construction of this $12 million house. And he goes, man, I just lost this big section of my business. And all of a sudden he goes, I'm financially going to be struggling. I'm thinking, oh Lord, he's in the middle of building a house and he's going to buy lights from me. He said, no, I can do this day. He goes, will you pray with me? I said, for what? He goes, I don't want to quit giving to the missionaries that I promised. He says, right now I'm giving about $8,000 a month to missions. And I don't want to give any less. I've taken a long time and committed to these missionaries. Just ask God, pray with me that God will continue to keep my mind. And you just cursed him. How many months have you given $8,000? How many? You ain't gave that in a lifetime. And we cursed the rich man. Do not curse the king, not even in your thoughts. Do not curse the rich, not even in your bedroom, for the bird of the air may carry them the hour and tell on you. Satan is a tattletale. Satan is a tattletale. Go look at Zechariah chapter 3. The high priest comes in into the courtroom of heaven. Satan is there accusing him. Christ is there, and he's there with a dirty robe. What's the devil doing? He's counteracting Jesus trying to bless you. Jesus is going, I've paid it all. I want to bless you. Devil's going, you can't make him rich. He cursed rich people. I have a case against him. You can't prosper him. Why? He's cursed the rich. You can't. And so your robe is dirty. So what Satan's trying to get you to do is to come under his authority in the curse that you spoke and become an agreement with him. Or you need to repent. Go read Zechariah 3. Have an angelic come put a new turban on your head, new fresh robe on you, and then say, I submit to the higher authority of this court. I've repented for this, and I believe this. Out of the mouth of two or three, let it be established. God has prophesied to prosper me. God has given me the word of the Lord to prosper me. And I come into agreement with that, and I denounce all the curses that I've given, all of the accusations I've given that people that have mishandled money. And what has happened is in your judgment, you've actually put up a barrier to where you don't believe you can handle it either. Because you don't even honor that God trusted that man with enough that kind of money. That was good. 1 Corinthians 11:31. If you judge yourself rightly, you will not be judged. You must understand the great responsibility that we have been given and treat it like the most serious matters. That money is serious, but it's not the money that makes it serious. It's the integrity in which you handle it. What does that look like? The integrity in which you handle it. A man comes up to a woman. He says, I'm a very wealthy man. He said, would you sleep with me for $1 million? The young woman looks at her and goes, $1 million? Absolutely. I'll see you Friday. Shows up next Friday and says, ma'am, I've had a thought process in this, and that's a lot of money. He said, would you sleep with me for $500,000? He goes, $500,000? That's still a lot of money. Yeah, I think I would. He says, I'll come next Friday. He shows up next Friday and he says, ma'am, I've had another change of heart. And he said, how about $20,000? $20,000? What kind of girl do you think I am? Listen, we already established what you are. I've just been negotiating the price. Does that kind of say what it is?
Yeah.
So a big money can buy you. Little money's already owned you. It comes down to obedience and integrity. I just never thought I could get away with that joke in church. What?
I'm not sure you did.
Oh, all right. Did I get away with that joke in church? Yeah, I'm in trouble. Lord, forgive me. All right. I think we're done. Lord, this is a series. Load it off our Identity Church app and download it. Take it apart. Listen to your voice. Get it into their heart. Position themselves to be blessed. Position themselves to be free from the spirit of poverty that loves to partner with religion and loves to partner with fear. Break the stronghold, the principality, and the stronghold of the spirit of poverty. Give us back our identity of who you said we are and the principles of who you are in us, that you're a king and a priest. And you've anointed us to release heaven on earth according to these principles. Father, I thank you. I bless you. I honor you. Holy Spirit, I thank you for teaching the truth. I thank you for actually testing us, Spirit. Wow. I just heard the Lord say, most of my people don't trust me enough to let me even test them so I can bless them. Who led Jesus to the wilderness to be tested? The Spirit of God did. And he came out with power. So if this message on finances, this money, I mean, I'm talking about tithe. People, there's been abuses with it. And because there's been abuses of it, we want to make an excuse not to enter into the structure of the kingdom that will bless you. So Father, just let people get these notes and pull it apart and study it. Let it get into their hearts and position themselves to fulfill the destiny on their lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.